Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Well, this is Impact, and thank you so much for staying with us. And this is really one of those very important features that we have where we highlight some incredible work done by fellow South Africans. Some you may know, some you may not know. And today we are featuring Lifika Laphodiso. It's a wonderful, wonderful center in the middle of Johannesburg. And I'll let actually the managing director just give us a real sense of what they do there. Roxanne Myburg is on the line with us. Thank you so much, Roxanne, and thank you so much for making time for us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Roxanne, Lifika Laphodiso, you know, let's talk about its genesis. It's all the way back in 2007. What was the idea behind it?
So Lifika actually started in 1994 when art therapist Dr. Hayley Berman returned from the UK and started working in Katlehong and noticed the incredible amounts of trauma and realized that you can't reach enough people if you work with individuals only. So she started training educators into this methodology that we now call community art counseling. And it's a training program that we run through our organization and from which all our values and our programming comes from.
And so the 2007 date, was that when you moved into the facility that you're in now?
Yes, that's when we moved into the Children's Memorial Institute, which is a wonderful building. It houses 28 children's organizations, so focusing only on children's mental health. There's a dental clinic. There are other wonderful organizations in the building. And it's such a privilege to be in a space where a lot of people are focused on work with children.
And what do you do with the young people? In other words, you would probably pick up that the young person, you know, has issues, and we expect that in an environment like that, you know, there are all sorts of social issues. But when a child comes in, can you say, no, you're not quite the candidate? How does it work?
No, we run our after-school program in a format that is called Open Studio.
Yeah.
So the children essentially come for art or drama
yes.
or music.
Yeah,
not necessarily for art therapy, drama therapy, music
yes,
therapy.
Yes.
So, but through that, we then discover other issues that come up. We've got a lot of food insecurity and poverty in the inner city, and we try and support the parents as best we can.
Yeah.
But, you know, we pick up things. And then our other big program is our low or no-cost clinic, where we see individual people for counseling and for therapy, and you negotiate the rate that you want to pay. We run that through an internship program, and we've partnered with WITS and UJ and UKZN and SECA to make this happen. So it's a big program. We have multiple interns, and you can actually select what sort of therapy you think will fit you the best when you come to us.
The capacity that you have, particularly for the after-school program, you know, is there more demand?
We can open a new program every day in sure. every area, and there will be children. I think that's the big challenge of working in an organization like ours. Our services are free, so kids don't pay to be there, and we just always have enough children. We've recently opened centers in Snake Park, Soweto, as well as in Chovicho in Orange Farm, and have waiting lists of children just wanting to attend these after-school programs. And parents also express a sense of real relief because their kids are not on the streets. They know where their kids are. They are in a safe space with safe adults and actually learning around emotional literacy and expression and creativity.
And so how does it work? You know, you've just said there would be waiting lists. Do you then say we can't take any more? How does it work?
Yeah. So when you want to work therapeutically, you can't have big
yeah.
groups. Otherwise, yeah. you only work on behavior management.
Yeah.
So we try and keep our groups as small as possible, between 15 and 20 kids. And then we have two facilitators as well as a volunteer in every afternoon program, so that the children can have one-on-one attention within the group, and that there is space for their emotional expression and their sharing of the stories. We're trying to strike a balance between having enough children that a funder or a donor would be happy with our work, but also really around the relational work that we do. So building relationships. We have young people that's been at Lefika for 10 years, like more than half their lives, that just keep coming back. Yeah. So that is really special. And it's actually a special thing that's been happening the last couple of years is where young people age out of the program. So the after-school program is for 6 to 18-year-olds. And then we enter them into our community art counseling training program. We've now employed two young people from the community art counseling training, and they are facilitating in our after-school programs. And we also have another young person who is, well, from last week, she's been employed to help us in as an administrator in our organization. And that becomes really special when you see how invested the young people are in keeping the organization running, how they want to give back, how they want to be this thing that not a lot of people know about, because the arts therapies and community art counseling is not a well-known area.
You just spoke of the donors. You know, as you just said, you know, it's not the kind of therapy, or at least the kind of work that is out there for many. Do you get that there is enough attention given to an organization like yourselves that does a bit more than just feeding the kids? Do you have enough donors coming forward looking to support your kind of work?
We can always do with more donors. Like I said, if we have the money, we can open centers everywhere. So, of course, we can always do with more help and support, and also support in other ways. The thing is, we have managed to secure funders who really understand the work that we do, which is helpful. So they're not just tracing numbers to look good on their annual reports. They care about the fact that we do mental health work and that we support children in a relational way, in a caring, empathetic way. And that has been really relationships that we've cultivated and grown over the years. And it takes a lot of work to also help funders get there and understand the value of what it is that we do. But such a special opportunity for us to work with people who actually understand that investing in a child's mental health at a young age will alleviate a lot of problems when they get older and they enter the workforce.
Let's talk about, you know, just from your experience, the impact that this kind of work has on these young people that come through those doors. You said, you know, some of them have been around for 10 years. You know, just give us maybe an example of what you've been able to see in the transformation of these young people.
So we can't go into too much specifics, but we have young people who has been, you know, they arrive, they're shy, unable to even look at you or make, you know, pay attention. And through the works of the art and the community art counselors, you see that growth and that light going on. The previous director of the organization, a wonderful woman called Pumzile Rakosa, she used to speak about how you can track a child's development through their art making. So when they start and they use limited colors and shapes, they draw in this corner of the page, almost afraid to use material. And then throughout the process, how they develop just a visual literacy and an ability to show how they feel using the arts. That is quite special in terms of our impact. We're also really trying to support young people to get into better schools, to take up opportunities around them. We've got a young person who 2 years ago applied to the National School of Arts, and he entered there, got a bursary, and he is really doing so well. He's now in grade 12, attending everything. He's studying art, but he's in the drama, and he's doing all sorts of wonderful things with his life and on track to get into university, which is really special for us, considering the limitations of children who live and grow up in Hillbrow and Yeovil and Berea.
Look, you're doing amazing work. How do people get hold of you, especially those who may be interested in supporting you in some way or another? I know that you also, you know, you have volunteers as well, but how do people get hold of you who may want to be a part of this wonderful initiative?
So we have a dedicated WhatsApp line, and that is for any inquiries. That is 065-094-2152. And people can also read more about us on our website. It's www.lifikalapodiso.co.za. I don't know if I should rather spell that. Because it's a long name.
I'm sure they can spell it, but I'll spell it for them as well. Thank you so much, okay, Roseanne. Fantastic. Roseanne, thank you. So thanks for making time for us. Roseanne Mayberg is Managing Director at Lefika La Podiso. This is Lefika, L-E-F-I-K-A, La Podiso, P-H-O-D-I-S-O.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.